like your warm welcome on this Lord's Day. Winter has certainly arrived. It's very chilly. If you're wondering why we're recording outside, well, that's because of the lighting we need. But we just trust that God's word will warm your heart, and it'll be a joyous time as we join together. Let's bow heads in prayer as we commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you for this wonderful time where we can come around your word. Father, we thank you that as we take another look at Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts. Father, we thank you that faith begins with worship. And Lord, we ask that as we come around your word, Lord, we lift our hearts to you in worship and praise. And Lord, realize that worship isn't just singing or even praying, but Lord, it's about a lifestyle that we live. We just pray now that you'd speak into our lives, and we thank you that we can look to you again, even during this time of pandemic and many concerns around us. Father, we thank you that we can look to you and lift up our hearts in praise. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. We're in our series, Real Faith in an Unreal World, and today we're going to look at the fact that faith worships, the first step in faith, in having a faith relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is worship. And certainly God's way has been a way of faith. Remember last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It quotes Habakkuk 2:4, and it says there, my righteous will live by faith. Certainly there's been no other way in our relationship with the Lord. An evangelist told a story about two boys who were in hospital. Their beds were side by side. One boy had a dangerous fever. The other had been struck by a truck and his body was badly mangled. The second one said to the first, "Say, Willie, I was down at the Mission Sunday School and they told me about Jesus. I believe that if you ask Jesus, he will help you. They said that if we believe in him and pray to God, then when we die, he'll come and take us to heaven." Willie replied, "But what if I'm asleep when he comes and I can't ask him?" His friend said, "Just hold up your hand. That's what we did in Sunday school. I guess the Lord Jesus sees that." Since Willie was too weak to hold up his arm, the other boy just propped it up against the pillow. During the night, Willie died, and when the nurse found him the next morning, his arm was still propped up against the pillow. We can be sure that the Lord saw his arm, because the Lord sees faith and the Lord accepts faith. By faith, Willie saw the way to heaven. By faith, he saw that what the learned will never discover on their own. God's greatest truths are discovered by simple faith. It's not the world's way to truth, but in a thousand years from now, if the Lord tarries that long, the world will still be devising and rejecting God's its theories. The person of faith knows the truth now. Faith is the only way to God. Remember Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "For without faith it is impossible to please God, because those who come to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Today our reading is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, just one verse as we focus on this great man of faith, Abel. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. "By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks even though he is dead." Now, if you read the story about Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, it's mysterious, it's enigmatic, it's even a little bit difficult to understand. Adam and Eve had two sons. Cain went into agriculture and Abel took up shepherding. Both were religious men. And when it came to the time to worship, both brought an offering appropriate to his profession. Abel from his flock and Cain from the fields. But curiously, God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but rejected Cain's. Cain in turn became angry, and God warned him in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." But we see in this passage that Cain, he nursed his anger and he murdered his brother Abel, whose blood cried out to God from the ground. The story ends in a tragic closure in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. "So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. You may be wondering, well, this is really an unusual, a strange story. What's the real point? The great man of God, the church father, St. Augustine, he understood it and he penetrated its meaning to its very core in his famous book, The City of God, when he explained the following. Cain was the firstborn and belonged to the city of men. After him was born Abel, who belonged to the city of God. Augustine correctly saw that each represented a radically different approach to religion and to God. There was the way of Cain, the way of unbelief and self-righteousness. He had a man-made religion. Jude 11, in fact, warns us, "Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain." But we see in contrast the way of Abel, a man of faith, and yet a way of faith, and it's described in verse 4 of our reading. "By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead." We see in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, we see two cities and two ways. The city of God and the city of man. The way of faith and the way of unbelief. Yeah, we see genuine faith, a faith that endures. Abel's faith produced three things. It produced genuine worship. It produced genuine righteousness. And it produced a genuine witness. We're going to see that there are two ways to worship, there are two ways to live, and there are two ways to witness. Firstly, we see in this passage there are two ways to worship. There's the right way, there's God's way, what we call the way of Abel, and then there's the wrong way, the way of Cain. Abel's genuine worship was commended in verse 4, the first part. It says there, "By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did." What made Abel's worship right before God? Well, we see in this passage that Abel was commended for his obedience. To do a thing by faith, you need to do it in response to a word from God. Now, as we see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ. God speaks and we respond to that word by faith. Can we worship God just in the way we please? Well, the answer is no. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3 to 5 tells us a story. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to God, to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. As we look at these verses in Genesis chapter 4, we see that there's a right place, a right time, and the right way to worship. God had given Cain and Abel explicit instructions about how they were to worship. There was a place to worship. Because they brought offerings, some sort of altar must have been used on which to place the sacrifice. There's no mention in this passage of erecting an altar. Perhaps there was one on the east side of the Garden of Eden where God had placed the cherubim with a flaming sword so they could not re-enter the garden. The question today is do you have a place of worship? Now, of course, living this side of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can worship anywhere. But friend, have you established a place of worship, a place where you spend time with God, where you commune with God and where you worship Him? We need to always have that place where we can go and there can be any place, anywhere, but we need to worship God. Then there was a right time to worship. In the course of time, Genesis 4:3 tells us, it literally means at the end of a certain time. God had designated a time for worship. The fact that Cain and Abel came at the same time suggests that God had set a particular time. Well, certainly today we can worship any time. And in fact, it's not just when we go to church. We actually worship all the time as in the way we live. But friend, have you set aside a time where you can commune with God? Have you prioritized, for example, Sunday, spending time with God's people and worshiping, coming together? Do you have a time daily where you spend time with God in prayer and in His Word, and as you reflect on what God is saying to you? We need to have that time to worship. Then we see there was a right way to worship, and perhaps this is the most important part of what we see in this passage. God had given explicit instructions that only animal sacrifices were acceptable. Very likely they had learned this from their parents, Adam and Eve, because in Genesis 3:21, it indicates that after Adam and Eve's sin, God provided clothes from animals slain to clothe their nakedness, and implicit inference, a connection that blood was to be spilled in direct response to their sin. Did not Cain and Abel understand the substitutionary atoning nature of the blood or the blood sacrifice? A sin offering to cover their sins. Now those are big words, but basically Christ, and if you look forward to the New Testament, the picture there is that Christ died in our place. That's what substitutionary atoning means, that he took our place for the punishment of sin. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 reminds us, "For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no forgiveness of sins." And so the important point here is that we need to recognize we are sinners in need of a Savior. It certainly isn't popular today to preach about sin, and many even avoid it. Preachers avoid the issue of sin. But here we see that perhaps Cain refused to acknowledge his sin and the fact he was a sinner before God. Abel offered a blood sacrifice for sin, one lamb for one man. Later, if you remember, moving forward to Moses when he led the people out of bondage in Egypt, we see the Passover, and yet we see one lamb for one family. Then came the Day of Atonement, where the high priest would enter the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, and he'd offer a sacrifice, and yet we see one lamb for one nation. Finally, we move on to the New Testament and to Good Friday, and there we see one Lamb for the whole world, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world. There was nothing intrinsically wrong with a grain or a fruit offering. The law of Moses, in fact, included such offerings, but the blood offering was always first, because only blood can deal with sin. And that's probably why Cain did not acknowledge his personal sin. Here is where the life of faith begins. Worship, we worship as sinners in need of God's forgiveness. And friends, this is really significant as we look at this issue of worship and faith. The difference between Cain and Abel: Abel gave God what God wanted, whereas Cain gave God what he, Cain, wanted to give. What we learned from this is we can't just worship in the way we feel like. Abel was obedient. Cain was disobedient. Abel came by grace. He recognized God's grace in his life. Cain came by works or what he could do and what he wanted to bring. Abel acknowledged his sin whereas Cain refused to do that. Abel approached God and said, "Lord, this is what you said you wanted. You promised that if I brought it, you would forgive my sin. I believe you, God. I acknowledge my sin and I acknowledge your remedy. Here it is." Cain had the same understanding about God and how he was meant to worship, but he worshipped in his own way. In the tradition of his parents, he did his own thing. Cain must have believed in God, otherwise he would never have brought an offering in the first place. He recognized who God was, but he did not obey God. How many of us are maybe falling into that category? We know that God exists. We believe that God exists, and yet we refuse to obey him, even in worship. He believed in God, but he did not believe what God had said. False religion is coming to God in any other way than God has prescribed. I can approach God on the basis of my own works, who I am. Or we can approach God on the strength of His grace in my life. Consider the following verses. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, that wonderful verse about being saved. Salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. In other words, what the writer of Acts is telling us is there's only one way to have a relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 reminds us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Friends, there's only one way to worship. There's only one way to have a relationship with God, and that's God's way. Imagine for a moment that you go to your doctor, you get a serious diagnosis, and then the doctor says, well, friend, you do what you please. You treat yourself like you want to. Well, that's exactly what happens when we worship God in the way that we please. Cain's sacrifice was a monument to pride and self-righteousness. Yet we see the way of Cain. Abel, on the other hand, believed and obeyed God. This was the way of Cain and the way of Abel. Abel is commended for his obedience. He's commended for having the right heart attitude. When God rejected Cain's offering, Cain, Genesis 4:5 tells us, he was very angry. His face was downcast. Here we see just how shallow his devotion to God really was. Look again with me at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now, God's plea was met with a silence. Whereas Cain's mother Eve was talked into sin, Cain could not be talked out of sin. Cain determined to stay angry, and he almost liked staying being mad. So it has been with Cain's descendants, his children, ever since. But Abel came with a different spirit, and look again at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. And Abel brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Abel bought of his best. And certainly we, as we worship, we need to bring to God of our best. Listen to the words of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. How do you worship? And during this time of the COVID-19 pandemic, how do you worship? Are you hoarding everything that you have and giving the leftovers to God? Or do you give your first and your best to God? God saw Abel's heart and was pleased with his motives. For 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. God desires devoted hearts in his worshippers. And Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, that well-known verse, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. We really need to reflect on that verse, that God is coming, that we really asking us and telling us to worship from our hearts with, you know, in all sincerity and truth. The psalmist recognized that God is looking for the right spirit. Psalm 108:1 says, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. It's certainly very significant that in this great chapter of faith, faith begins with worship. Let me say it again, it's so important. Faith begins with worship. Isn't it so significant that the author who wrote to the Hebrews chose this example of faith as the very first step in his discussion and his witness about the life of faith? When we come to Abram later on, we're going to see that everywhere where Abram went, he built an altar to worship God. He knew that faith and service grow out of authentic worship. And so we see there are two ways to worship. There's the way of Cain, God's way, and the way of Abel, man's way. But secondly, we see there are two ways to live. Having taught us about worship, the author shows us there are not only two ways to worship, but there's also two ways to live. He shows us that there is a genuine way of worship, the righteousness of Abel, and there's not a genuine way of worship, would we see in the life of Cain. Hebrews 11 verse 4 it says the following, and remember we read those verses. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. And then the author continues. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Perhaps you have wondered how God showed his favor to Abel. Jewish and Christian tradition say that fire came down from heaven and consumed Abel's sacrifice, but that wasn't so with Cain's sacrifice. We'll never know if this actually happened, but that's the tradition in Jewish tradition. And scripture records certainly that fire descended on the sacrifices of at least five other instances. We read about Elijah and Gideon and fire on the rock, fire on the altar, Leviticus 9, 2 Chronicles 7. We read about Manoah's sacrifice. But with Cain, God is strangely silent. However it was, we don't know exactly. God spoke well of Abel's offering and he was commended as a righteous man. In Matthew 23, verse 35, Jesus calls him righteous Abel. And John the apostle wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 12, he emphasized the life of faith by contrasting Cain's evil actions with Abel's righteous actions. Here's the connection. Authentic faith produces authentic worship that produces righteous living. Let me say it again. It's so important that we understand this. Authentic faith produces authentic worship of God that produces righteous living. James chapter 2 and verse 17 says, in the same way, faith, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, of course, James is speaking about righteous living. Faith produces true worship, and that produces righteous living. To put it another way, worship impacts the way you live. Your faith, your worship impacts the way you live. And so we see that there are two ways of worship and there are two ways of living. And then finally, thirdly, we see also two types of witness. Finally, we see that authentic faith produces a authentic worship. In verse 4, the third part, and it carries on and it says the following. Hebrews chapter 4, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Among William Blake's most famous paintings is one depicting Abel. In the background lies Abel's muscular body, pale grey in death. In the foreground of this painting, flees Cain. His body is moving away as he sprints by. But his torso is twisted back so that he faces the observer. His eyes are wide in terror. His mouth gaping in retching agony. And his hands are stopping up his ears in the attempt to shut out the wail of his brother's blood screaming from the ground. In Genesis, we see Abel's blood crying for retribution. But here in the letter to the Hebrews, it is Abel's illustrious example of faith that sweetly calls to us to a profound witness. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Certainly there's a great power in example. St. Francis once called to one of his young monks, "Let's go down to the town to preach." The novice, delighted at being singled out to be the companion of Francis of Assisi, he quickly obeyed. They passed through the principal streets, turned down many of the byways and alleys, made their way out of some of the suburbs, and at length returned by the winding route to the monastery gate. As they approached the monastery gate, the younger man reminded Francis of his original intention. "You have forgotten, Father," he said, "that we went down to the town to preach." "My son," Francis replied, "we have preached. We are preaching while we are walking. We have been seen by many. Our behavior has been closely watched. It was thus that we preached our morning sermon. It is of no use, my son, to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere as we walk." This could genuinely be said of Abel. Though none of his words have been preserved, he has been eloquently preaching for thousands and thousands of years about authentic faith. How has the Lord spoken to you today? Do you have authentic faith that produces authentic worship? By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. It was better because it was obedient to God's revealed will. This tells us that we dare not bring anything to God until we approach Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling," says that amazing hymn. And when we worship, in whatever form that may take, do we bring our first and best, or do we withhold from God? Do we worship from our hearts in spirit and truth, to use the words of the Gospel of John? Second, authentic faith produces genuine righteousness. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Certainly, Abel walked the talk. His authentic faith produced genuine worship, which resulted in a righteous life. And friends, as you look at your own life, are you expressing genuine faith in the way you live? And then finally, in application, third, we see that authentic faith produces a genuine witness, and that for eternity. By faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Friend, what is your witness as you reflect on this passage? It's an amazing passage. And remember that the first stop of our journey of faith is to truly worship God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this great saint, Abel, who genuinely worshipped you. Father, we thank you for his worship. We thank you for his commitment to you. Lord, we thank you that he expressed his faith in worship. Father, you expressed his faith in living and witness. And oh God, as we reflect in these difficult days where all of us are challenged, Lord, where we face so many things around us that are difficult in life, Father, I pray that you'd remind us that we need to express ourselves in this journey in faith, firstly with true worship. Lord, help us to focus on who you are. Lord, help us to look to you. Lord, we come as sinners and acknowledge our sinfulness and our need of you, our need of your grace. And Lord, we know it's on that basis that we worship you. Father, that we come and we lift our hands in worship because of your grace in our lives. Lord, we pray that this word would speak into our lives. And Father, we know that your Spirit speaks to each of us directly and challenges us about things that are happening in our lives. Father, won't you minister to us right now by your Spirit? As we bow, won't you just take a few moments to reflect what God is saying to you? What word has the Lord, what word is he speaking to your life? Won't you just reflect on that for a few moments? And maybe if you need to confess sin or you need to make right, won't you do that right now as we simply bow before the Lord and ask him by his grace to forgive us and cleanse us and to direct us on the right path. Father, on this day of worship, we know that you are worthy to be worshipped. Lord, we thank you for your work of grace in our lives. Father, we know that apart from you, we could never ever be forgiven of sin and have a relationship, a real relationship with you. And so, Father, we end this time with a time of worship, just recognizing who you are, your character, your grace, your goodness. Father, the fact that you are in control of our lives. And Lord, we just pray that we would always recognize that you are the King upon the throne. Lord, that you are in control. Lord, that your presence is with us throughout our day. And Lord, you are certainly worthy to be worshipped. We give you praise. Amen. Lord bless you. It's certainly been a joy at this time to share with you. And we just pray that the Lord would use you, this word to grow your faith and to allow you to live in the way that the Lord Jesus wants you to. God bless you.